Good evening, Jubilee. Hey, we're all glad you're here, whether you're in the house or whether you're watching online. I want to say tonight is going to be a really good, special time. We're going to get together. Becky and I are going to have a conversation about prayer. And I just wanted to share a scripture. It's James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Elijah was a man like us, of a similar nature, and yet he prayed earnestly. God heard his prayer, and in the midst of him hearing his prayer was for that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. And then the best part is verse 18. It says, then Elijah prayed again, and the rain came, and it watered the earth. And so tonight, I want to say that there's a call again for prayer and to pray again, to step into a place that you haven't been into, or to even a place maybe where you've lost some vision or some hope. And I believe tonight that as we have this conversation tonight about prayer, that there'll be a stirring for you, and there'll be a stirring to pray again like Elijah. And then there'll be a fruitful place that'll come from it. So tonight we have Becky Ferris. She's our prayer pastor here at Jubilee. And I'm very excited about this conversation and about what God's going to do in that. So let's get to it. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Pastor. How are you?
Let me get my seat up here and that. So to start, just because it's, you know, we're in the sanctuary, but we're also to everybody online. Give everybody kind of an idea about your who you are, what you do, and kind of your journey of prayer till this season, I guess.
Okay, well, I'm the prayer pastor here at Jubilee, and I've been in either leading prayer or in a prayer movement for over 30 years in two churches, this one by far more. And it started off with a very call to a military type prayer, very strong, going after something and not letting the bone, out of my teeth until mm-hmm. we got answers to prayers or we felt it lived. We knew how to pray through. We knew what that meant. We knew how to travail. We knew how to spend hours in prayer. We would sometimes spend an entire night into the morning, and we wouldn't let up. And it wasn't like we fell asleep. We were hardcore praying. Then the Lord brought me into a love relationship with the Lord. See, I knew him as a strong king. I knew him as a warrior. But I had never really gotten to know him as a lover or my husband. He brought me into that season, and for a long time I thought, oh, I used to pray effectually, and now I don't. And I felt really bad about that for a long time until the Lord brought me back, and he says, now combine the two. Mm-hmm. And so we started praying more from that vantage point. So that's where I am today, and actually, last month, he told me there would be a shift, and he was talking about prayer. There'd be a shift the beginning of October. And I told a few people about it, but I didn't make a big deal. I just was waiting to see what that shift was, and I discovered. He Holy Spirit came, and he spoke to me very clearly about the direction of prayer for right now. And he started taking me through scriptures and everything else. So I'm really excited about what he's doing right now.
That's good. I know that Ecclesiastes 3 says that there's a time and a season, and it goes through all those things. But I think, I don't know that we always think prayer has a time and a season and that, but yet, like I referenced earlier in James, that Elijah prayed, and I believe that Elijah prayed that prayer. He didn't just pray it one time and it stopped raining. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. I believe he was earnestly holding a place of prayer for 3.5 years. I believe he was in a conversation, so to speak, with God about holding this holding back the rain from it coming. So kind of with that in mind of a season of prayer, tell us about, like, what was our last season, or what was your last season of prayer like?
My last season, the very last one I had, was almost a non-existent. I mean, I prayed and I did everything, but it's almost like you're praying, but you don't see anything, you don't sense anything. You know, where is God? Where, you know, you're just going through the things you know to do. And I would listen to some intercessors, and I was one in the beginning, who would really go after a topic, a situation. For instance, right now it's the elections. And they'd put the elections in front of them, the candidates in front of them, and boom, we're hitting and hitting and hitting. And I realized, okay, I'm hitting this and hitting this and hitting this, but nothing's happening. And like you mentioned Elijah, that he prayed earnestly. That's a sign of a fervent prayer. Mm-hmm. And the scripture says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So I said, Lord, and I would pray. I said, Father, I want my prayers to come from a fervent place. And I think almost any intercessor has gone through this, where you start trying to be fervent, mm-hmm. rather than letting the Holy Spirit pray through you that fervency. And because the Holy Spirit knows everything, we have our opinions. See, I would have an opinion as to who I wanted to be elected. I would even say because they think like me, or the things that they're for are the things I'm for. Mm-hmm. And I would try to dress it up all I could, but basically I was praying from my vantage point. And like I said, in the beginning of October, the Lord brought me to a place where he said, I want you now to worship me in prayer and declarations. And it's really strange. I normally would not have known what he meant, but instantly I knew what he meant. And I said, I get it. Don't pray for the elections themselves. Pray for the Spirit of God and the presence of the Lord to come in and change the atmosphere. He started speaking to me about atmosphere. He said, he started with Jubilee. He said, I want you to change the atmosphere before services of this place. Mm-hmm. Now, normally we have pre-service prayer in the prayer room in the back there, and we would pray, Lord, help the equipment work right, or pastor pray this way, or the worship team. We would pray for situations or people. Mm-hmm. But he says, no, I want you to worship me and change the atmosphere, and I will come in to the house and do what I'm going to do. He says, that's all you want is for me to be exalted and for me to do what I'm going to do, whether the sound equipment works or not, whether it gets televised, whether the microphones work or pastor, you know, says the most eloquent words without the Spirit of God in it, it's just a clanging bell.
Yeah.
So I started to do that, and we were a little uneasy in the beginning. It's like, okay, Lord, I know what you want, but I don't know how to get there with a group of people who, like me, have been praying one way forever and ever. How do we do this? And he told me, he said, I want you to pray worship songs. We have a DVD player in there, a YouTube, and I found some real worship songs, that the ones that don't have you or I or me in them, the ones that are all you.
And, you all know, him.
Yeah, him.
Right.
That's all. And they're hard to find, because most of our worship songs, and I'm not talking Jubilee, I'm talking Christianity, right. Most of our songs are songs or prayers or psalms, but very few are true worship songs. So I found these little ones. I played them as we were in there, and I said, okay, let's just enter into this. And pretty soon people were on the floor weeping. And these are the intercessors who before
right.
were praying from the head knowledge of what they knew. Now we were asking the Lord, come in, come in. We just need you. We just want you. We need your presence. And then he said, stop asking me for it. Start declaring it in. So we started declaring his presence into the atmosphere, and you could feel the tangible presence of the Lord. Now, the presence of the Lord, I'm sure you know, the presence of the Lord affects our spirit man. Mm-hmm. It'll change our spirit man. But the presence brings in the anointing, which is different. The anointing affects our body and our soul. Mm-hmm. It'll affect our emotions, our will, our thoughts. And so I said, okay, Lord, then I'm going to go after your presence, and then you'll do the rest. If there are miracles to be had in the house, your anointing, which follows your presence, will bring them into the house. So I don't need to pray, heal everybody who's sick, right. Or, you know, right. I don't need to focus on what the devil has done or what we panic about in prayer sometimes. All I need to do is make an atmosphere for you to come, and we want to host your presence. Right. I started seeing a huge change in what goes on in the prayer room, and I watched out here. So what's going to go on out here? And I said, there's things happening. And I could almost see different seats, you know, where the presence of the Lord was real strong. And I said, you're doing something over there. We worship you. And I went in my seat. That's what we told the intercessors. You are now carriers, because you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're now carriers of that presence. Take it out and release it wherever you're sitting. Just on purpose, say, I release the presence of God that I'm carrying, because I'm his house. I release it into the atmosphere. And it's been really transformational, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Hebrews 11 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I think it's shifting your perspective or your what you're doing more into, and again, not that all prayer has faith in it. But again, sometimes we pray, like you were saying, we pray for a circumstance to change. We never really connect with the one who changes the circumstance. So in the inviting, in the hosting, as it were, of getting Holy Spirit here, opening, giving him a place to come that's welcoming, and that now changes, as you were saying, the atmosphere of first the prayer room, then the sanctuary, and all those that are in it. Mm-hmm. I think that's a place of faith. I think it's changing it from what we can do to what he's already done and now wants to show himself at.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And, yeah. And also, it's a place of obedience. Not yeah. obedience like a hard taskmaster, you got to do this, but an obedience to, I'm listening for your voice, I want to hear it. And if you say, lift your right arm, I'm going to lift my right arm. Whatever you say to do. So if you say, I want you to worship prayer and worship declaration, then I may not do it eloquently in the beginning
sure.
with any kind of, you know, but I'll do it in obedience, and you'll honor that. And he does. Whatever we do in obedience to his voice, he honors it. You know, another thing he showed me was, and Pastor had been talking about being in Christ. Mm-hmm. And it was really good, and I got it and everything. But the Lord showed me something else. And I'm going to ask you if you wouldn't mind taking a glass that you happen to have next to you.
Wait, hold on. Let me, so we can get it on camera and it's not yeah. relying on me.
I saw someone else do this, and it touched me so much, I wanted to show it here.
Okay.
So that's me right there. That's who I am. But now this is me, and this water on this side is me, and that water on that side is Jesus. So I want you to fill the empty vessel right now with me and Jesus.
Fill it.
No, I mean, you know, like what we talked about.
I was gonna say, yeah. Don't change the rules in the midst of it.
Okay.
It's like pouring out a drink offering.
All right. That's me right there. That's you. That's Diana and Yoli and Allie. That's us. Now pour some Jesus in there.
We'd probably pour a lot more Jesus in there. Right?
Okay. Now that in there has Jesus and me, right? Now, what I'd like you to do is the water that came out of this container, I want you to put that back in there. And the water that came out of that one, put back in there without mixing it up.
Well, I'm pretty confident I can't do that. Once you pour water together, it's all water.
It's all one, isn't it?
Yeah.
There is no two different spirits. There is no Becky and Jesus is one spirit. I in him and him in me. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. He says, do everything from the vantage point of knowing that you are in me and we cannot be separated. As soon as Jesus entered into the water that was only me, he started enveloping me in who he was, and it's no longer me anymore. I didn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. And you can see him as, you can see Christ in this, because if I only took that water that only had me in it, I would be so limited as to what I saw, what I perceived, how I knew the Lord. How can I worship him? How can I honor him or bless him or honor his people if all I have is my own water and my perception? I could say I've been an intercessor for over 30 years. Big deal. You can come into intercession in 5 minutes, and if you come in through Christ and you're in the middle there and you have him in there, it's the same. He will give you the same audience. He will listen to your prayer. You will have an effectual and fervent prayer, because it's no longer you interceding or praying. It is now Holy Spirit in you who has come up into the throne of God with you, because all of it is in there. Remember, Jesus didn't say, I'm gonna sit you next to me in heavenly places. You are sitting in Christ Jesus. And I just exhort everybody to go in and start Googling a whole bunch of searches for in Christ or through Christ or in him. You'd be amazed at what we can do. That's where miracles happen. Signs and wonders is when we are in Christ. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And in Christ, I can do all things. But apart from him, I can do nothing. I'm mere human, and I can't do anything. So it's a beautiful place to say, it's not by might or power, but it's by his spirit.
Right.
Everything is, even and especially prayer. Prayer is nothing more than communing with your husband. It's like you and Veda, your wife, you know, sitting on the couch and just talking about the day and how it went and what your feelings are, and what you're upset about, what she's upset about, what you're happy about. It's a personal conversation you have with your spouse. It's the same thing in prayer. And I've come to understand that warfare, if it's not rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, which comes from the worship of who he is knowing experientially I've come into his heart, then it's nothing. It's I'm batting the air. You know, like we use that term a lot with intercession. All my prayers were batting the air, or I hit a brass ceiling, or they didn't go anywhere. It's because you haven't taken the time to come into his presence experientially like that. You've come next to him. You can talk about him. You can sing about him. You can do all these things and never really come into who he is and who you are in him, and you never become one. So I'd rather sing one song or pray one prayer after having spent time in him, having actually said, Father, I come into Jesus right now. I come right inside of him by the power of Holy Spirit, by your election, because he's the door, and I can come freely anytime I choose, and I choose to live there day and night. And it's not about, you know, we've got to pray day and night, or we've got to do this day and night and all that. It's about 1 second in the presence with God is better than 99, you know, years apart from him.
Yeah, that's what David said, is that I'd rather spend that moment with you to have one than to 1,000 years outside of your presence. So if then the goal is to be, for prayer and for everything, is to be in Christ. How do you shift then your disciplines of prayer, right? Because we all pray in a particular way. We all pray in particular times. We all use, for lack of other terms, we use methods and patterns in prayer that we've learned. How do you take all that which you've acquired in the journey and now use it in that place of being in Christ? Or does that, for the other things, or is all that taken out of the equation? And is it just now this the only place of prayer?
I think, and I'm smiling on the inside because it's both and.
Sure.
I take the word discipline of prayer makes me smile because I remember when I first started praying, I had a discipline of prayer. I'd have to pray so much time from this time to this time. And I mean, it was to the point where because it was laborious for me, I would be looking at the clock every 5 minutes. Is it time yet? Am I done? You know, right. It was that kind of thing. And I look back now and I said, wow, what if I had done that to my husband? What if I had set a timer and I said, okay, you've got 1 hour, hurry, talk. Okay, that was boring. Is it over? You know, that's not a relationship. What I've done now is I don't have a discipline of prayer. Prayer isn't hard anymore. It used to be hard. It used to be laborious. It used to be something that I almost dreaded because I would get there eventually, but the process of getting to that place with Christ was so laborious and so hard. It every bit of my flesh was crying out, rescue me, somebody. Somebody interrupt me or distract me or something. But now what I do is I find myself throughout the day praying. I find myself saying, what do you think of that, Lord? Or, wow, that person said that. What do you think of that? Usually if I bring somebody like that to him, he'll say, what's that to you? But but at least we have that conversation.
You're in good company on that one, right?
We have that relationship now where he can be frank with me and I don't fall apart and just go into a tailspin and into condemnation because God's didn't like something. I take it now that correction, that embracing correction. Mm-hmm. I said, thanks, Lord. Thank you. I needed some clarity in that because I didn't realize I was being hard or staunch or judgmental or whatever. I was raised staunch, hard, and judgmental in that kind of an environment. So mm-hmm. to me, that it's not something horrible. It's just something normal. So I said, well, then you're going to have to give me your personality, Lord, because all I have is the natural one that I have. And one thing he told me, he says, I like that in you. I like the fire in you. I like the tenacity, mm-hmm. He says, I like that because I have that side to me too. I just want to temper it, and I want you to love people that are unlovable to the point where I'll use you as an example. I can look at you and say, he's this or that, whatever, some nasty thing. And the Lord will say, the Lord will say, that's me you're talking about.
Right.
Now receive the fear of the Lord because I'm in him. And all of a sudden you go, oh my gosh. And it's not because I'm trying to be nice to you. It's you carry Jesus. I've got to be kind and loving to Jesus in you. Otherwise, I'm off. I'm really off.
Yeah.
It's not. It really is a place where you go higher than what you can see. It's like if all I'm going to see is you, and you do something that isn't Christ-like, I'm going to judge that. And there, I'm off. Now, I can't fix you. All I can do is say, there is Jesus inside of that man. And no matter what he does or says, I'm going to honor the Jesus in him because the fear of the Lord is real and it's strong and it'll convict to the point where you don't want to come out of your house for a while. You think, oh my gosh, I hurt the Lord's feelings. Yeah. I look what I said about him, not about Pastor Brian. About Jesus. And I've had many days like that, where the Lord has upbraided me, saying, that was me you said that against. And I said, it wasn't you. And we would argue back and forth, because I'm real honest with him. I might as well, because he knows our thoughts anyway.
Exactly.
We have a good relationship. And that's one of the things, like you were talking about with Elijah, The reason he was able to pray and then go on and pray again was he had a relationship with God. He knew God. But imagine that Elijah didn't have, he was not the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
He didn't have him inside of him. How much more we, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, need to come into that place of, I want a relationship, an honest relationship with the Lord. I want to know Holy Spirit. I want to wake up with him in the morning and talk to him before I go to bed. I want to love Jesus more than anything else, and I want him to be the center point for every thought that I have. I'm working with the Lord on that. My job is to yield and submit, is to just surrender. His job is to pour in the oil and the wine into me and make me a new creation day by day by day. So that's, I hope that answered.
No, that does. And I think, again, from hearing what you say and trying to, again, look at it, then as members of Christ, each one of us, you know, a member, a part of his body, each of us individually growing up into the head, Jesus, right? Then I can see that, you know, you say something against a brother or a sister in the Lord, then you're, I can see God, I can see him having to have a discussion with you like a parent would a son or a daughter to bring correction. But then how does that work then in a sense for the unsaved or the, we'll use your elections. How does that work for the party that you don't agree with, that isn't that, and that maybe their actions are real contrary to Christ?
Then isn't that awesome that the Christ in me has the opportunity by my releasing him to that person or situation to change the atmosphere of that situation? I can now look at, I'm Republican. I can look at a Democrat and say, the Lord loves you because you're his creation and he loves all of creation. May the Lord make his face to shine on you. May your encounter be rich in Christ. May he reveal himself to you in ways that you didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
May he bring people across your path that will speak life into you. May he take wherever you're wrong, just like he takes wherever I'm wrong, and I bring that up to the throne, and Father, make it right. You're the only one who can, and this is your creation, your beloved, because he loves all creation, whether we agree with him and accept him or not.
Right, right. It's when you're saying that, I'm reminded of Pastor's words where he says he prays for his enemy the same way he prays for his kids. So he then, and that's not that he's again from a point of that, but he's bringing them into that place of not looking at their what he sees of them or that, but really bringing them to a place of the only one who can change our enemy or our kids or our family is Jesus, and that the prayer that only sees what they're doing and tries to convince God that he should do something about it really doesn't work. It's not an effective or effectual prayer, even if you can pour it out, because you're seeing the natural that you're trying to change. And God's a spirit. God wants to work with us on spiritual things, right? Where he wants us to worship him in spirit and truth. He doesn't want us to, even though there's a natural part of us that is involved in worship, he's looking at the heart. Mm-hmm. And that's really is that we have to look at each of those people, whether we like them or not, whether they're close or not, or whether we, that as we have to be praying for God to change the internal before we get concerned of the external.
Right. Yeah, and you'll be amazed at how much you stop disliking people that don't agree with you the more you bring them up to the throne and present them as God's loving ones, the
yeah.
ones he loves. You start, all of a sudden, you start getting a soft spot in your heart for them
yeah,
that you couldn't have in the natural. otherwise. I know somebody, and this is pretty common with intercessors, somebody sent me an article of somebody real high up in the church realm, real high up, and that they had signed a thing saying that same-sex marriage now was okay. And that, you know, they obviously wanted prayer against that. And I thought, what is that to me? What is that to the Lord? The Lord wants that person to have to have an encounter with Christ more than anything. Yeah. Every same-sex person that's with another person, he loves them and wants an encounter with them too. Just the same way he wants it with me or my children. So in changing the atmosphere, it really means I am changing an attitude from me in charge or me judging to God is on the throne and he's loving. Oh, that rhymed.
Yeah. Look at you, the poet.
Yeah, but he loves everybody and everything. All we are carriers of his presence, either his presence or the enemy's presence. Either we're going to judge, we're going to put down, we're going to say, this is my club and we belong here and you can't come into my club because you don't think the way we do. How narrow-minded. God is huge. He's bigger than anything, and he's not angry. He's not worrying. He's not fretting. He's not thinking, oh my gosh, if they don't do this, then I can't do that. He's got the destiny all planned out, and the end of the book says we win because Jesus wins.
Yeah. Interesting when you said that, I'm reminded of a scripture, and let me find it here real quick. In Philippians, and I was just talking to someone about it today, and it starts off in Philippians 1:3, and it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy. And then it goes on, he says more, but it jumped down to verse 9. It says, and I pray that love may abound still more and more in all knowledge and all discernment. And, oh, that's not what I wanted. Let me back up. I'm sorry. Back to verse 7, it says, I'll read from end of 4. For the fellowship of the gospel from this first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who's begun a good work in you will see it unto completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you, because I carry you in my heart. Inasmuch as both my chains and my defense and my confirmation of the gospel, and that you are partakers with me of that grace. And I think what I'm hearing you say is that to pray for everybody the same way, or to change an atmosphere, then our first place to change an atmosphere is to take prayer and pray for people until they first come into our heart. So, and then Paul says that then it's right for him to think that way, that Jesus is gonna get them, see them through to completion. He has a confidence in that because he carries them first in prayer till he becomes a place, till he holds that place in his heart, as opposed to trying to fix their circumstance, right? Or change their circumstance to something that we would like, or change the way they think, or what they're outwardly doing, or that. It's prayer's meant to change the way you think of them and the way you carry them, so that then you can, as you're saying, change their atmosphere in that.
That's good. You know, I was also thinking about in how we see things. You know, in Numbers 13 and 14, it talks about when Moses sent out the spies to Canaan.
Sure.
And they were supposed to come back and say, okay, you know, how big is their army? What, you know, what's going on? Give us the lay of the land type thing. They came back and they were scared, which is weird because they carried on the sticks that they had on their shoulders, they carried one huge cluster of grapes that were giant. And you would have thought, wow, you know, that's, look at this land, it's flowing with milk and honey, it's great. But instead, they said, but there's giants there, and they're going to take us out. And the people all got scared. And Moses went and Aaron went down to pray. But then it was Caleb and Joshua who said, wait a minute. We saw this land and we can take it. Our God is bigger. Our God is mighty. And it was a change that happened by perception because Caleb and Joshua had a relationship with God. They had great faith, but they had a relationship with him that the other people were lacking in. So they were able to say, no, my God can, we'll come out and we'll, God's given us that land. He said it was ours, that we could take it. Come on, let's go. And it was a whole different, that was an atmosphere mm-hmm. change. That was where everybody, including the leaders, were on their faces, scared and say, now what do we do? That's supposed to be our land, but these giants are there. And they saw with the natural eye and with the opinion of man what actually was there in reality. But the others saw how big and giant God was, and the reality changed to the perfection of Christ being in a place that would give them the inner muscle to go and take the land because God said it was their land. I think how many people, how many of us miss our land because we're busy crying for it, not realizing the God in us, that in that glass, the God in us, it is no longer I that live. But if Christ says this is ours, then I need to agree with him. And that's real worship, is when I agree with what God has said. When I know he's bigger than, he's more powerful, there is nothing beside him. He's God to me, and he's God to every Democrat and every atheist and every anybody else, every child abuser, murderer. He is Lord over all, and I have that ability as an intercessor to start declaring his lordship over things and see the dismantling of the enemy's hold on them. No more giants in the land. Now we see not ourselves as grasshoppers, but we see the enemy as a grasshopper under the foot of Jesus.
So then how do we change that perspective? I mean, you said you've been an intercessor for 30 years and obviously been praying all this time. Then how do we change that perspective? Because, I always just make the thing, if I could, I would. So then what is the, help us or help everybody to kind of get, what is our part to do it? Because obviously, there's got to be, if we could, we would.
Sure, yeah. I think everybody feels that way. And until the Lord put that in my heart the first week of October, which was not very long ago since mm-hmm. we're still in October, where he said, worship, prayer, that's what he called it, worship, prayer, and worship declarations. Meaning, don't just declare this thing's coming down. Declare how big I am. Declare who I am in any situation. Now I'm getting, because I get all the prayer requests for the church, mm-hmm. and I get some from other churches as well. Now I take these and I said, Lord, you are Lord over all of this. You are Jehovah Rapha. You start, like if it's for healing, you start releasing the authority in the name of Jehovah Rapha. Mm-hmm. There is an authority in the office that comes with that, and you start releasing it because I am one with Christ. So if he says I have given, he has been given all authority, that means I'm living inside of him. That means that if, as long as I am proclaiming what he is saying, as long as I'm giving him honor and glory, I can proclaim something and so shall it be. That's where limbs grow out and miracles mm-hmm. happen, but only under the glory of God. When we enter into the glory, you have to enter into the glory by real worship. Not like what we have made it, not singing songs about me, but actual worship where all we're looking at is him and his ability, his glory, and we're looking for him. Like when you're at home, you don't need music, you don't need anything. You can just start saying, you're so big. You have a fight with your spouse. You're so big in this, Lord, and you're right in the middle. And your peace is overwhelming this house. And your glory here. And you're making me, Father God, to submit and to see my spouse as the most wonderful creation that you've ever done. And I thank you, Lord God. And I place her up right into your hands, and I place myself up too. And I thank you for kissing both of us and kissing our relationship. It's just a matter of worship for reals, without any props, without any, you know, what I call when somebody has an ability in something. You say, I have no abilities, Lord, but I can still talk. And if I couldn't talk, I'd learn sign language, and you know sign language. You know, whatever it is, but worship him in spirit and in truth. Get into the word. You know, stand on the word, not as a matter of I'm twisting God's arm with this word, which as intercessors we're really good at, but say, no, I'm not going to just rattle off a bunch of scriptures and say there. I'm going to say, Lord, you're the living word. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to declare right now about Jesus? And he'll give you a word, maybe. You know, I was in a prayer meeting the other a few weeks ago where I was saying, let's exalt Jesus and who he is. And there was somebody who started rattling off all the names they've memorized about Jesus. And I didn't say anything. I just let him go. But I thought, no, how much more? How has he revealed himself to you this week? Has he been faithful? Then major on faithful. You're faithful. You are so faithful. You were faithful to me when I wanted to quit and you didn't let me. You were faithful to me when somebody said something nasty to me and you comforted me. You are so faithful. I can always count on you. So that's what I mean by worship. And that's what I mean by prayer at all times. It's not, you know, I did away with my stopwatch type of prayer. And now I want to pray all the time. And I can do that. Now, I don't think I could have done that in the beginning. I needed that discipline of, you know, do this and that until I got to a place where I'm not having a really good relationship with you because I'm just doing this because I'm supposed to. And I don't want a relationship with you. If you're my husband, I don't want a relationship with you that I feel I have to make happen. And I have to do it just like I wouldn't in the natural. I said, so you show me how you speak to me. Because he speaks to us all in different ways, you know, and sometimes the same, but different times, different ways. Said, you show me how you and I talk and what our relationship looks like. It won't look like somebody else's. Mine won't look like yours. And so we can't compare one to another. So everybody says, oh, I'd love a relationship that Pastor Steve has with the Lord. But I couldn't because I'm not Pastor Steve. I'm me. And I have a beautiful relationship with him my way. But I would never tell somebody, okay, you need to do this, 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 because that's how I do it. And I just say, just keep going. Don't let up on him. Just hold the hem of his garment until you don't really need to hold it anymore because now you've become a part of it. And you've entered into him, and he's entered into you. And now you're just one. You really are just one. And there's no place where I end and you start. It's just, you know, there we are as one.
Yeah. It sounds like, I mean, you're taking all of it together. It's a conversation based on a relationship. Just like you said, you wouldn't. If you had your stopwatch out every time you and Mike sat down to do something, the conversations get shorter, right? Because everybody knows, like, well, yeah, we're just doing this, right? So it's a relationship, and then it's you know, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So it's what we say. It's the intent of our heart is being exposed in that. So it's a, you know, I'm reminded of the scripture that says, Jesus is forever making intercession for us. And my, again, my opinion is what Jesus is saying is, at least his intercession for me is, every promise that he's ever said, he's still holding those promises as if they were gonna come to pass, because for him, they are, none will return void. So then our conversation with him becomes holding those, you know, having that conversation about those promises without, like you said, twisting your arm, saying you've got to do it. You've got to do it this way and this time, and it's got to come out, it's got to look like this, because if I know anything about it, that I only know in part. He might have given a big promise, but that big promise is only a small portion of his plan and destiny and redemptive desire for my life. So in that, then you're holding a place with him in a conversation that takes it out of the I have to do it this particular way, or I have to do this amount of time, or I have to quote these verses. It's more organic, I guess.
It is, and it changes day by day, which makes it more exciting. You know, it's like you don't know what you're going to be talking to him about that day. Yeah. It depends on what's in front of you. And it's not that you're looking at what's in front of you in the natural. It's like, oh, Lord, look at what this one said about Trump. It's really bad. Huh, what do you say? How are you interceding for Trump? How are you interceding for the person who said something? Yeah. Help me to enter into that intercession rather than my own opinion or my own, you know, getting angry or getting frustrated or whatever it is that people get. COVID. Lord, what is your intercession regarding COVID? Well, you know, I know you didn't start this. And one thing he told me right at the beginning of COVID, he goes, stay with me during this, because I didn't start this, but I'm going to speak to my church during this time. Wow. And he hid us away. He hid us so that we couldn't do church as normal. You know, we couldn't, we had to be outside when we got to be outside. Otherwise, we were on Zoom or something. And our intercession got to be on a Zoom meeting. I'm still holding Zoom meetings for intercession. But he said, I want you to pay attention to me like you never have before, because I'm giving you this as a gift. Don't get busy. Whatever you do, don't get busy. Take this as a season of rest, and I will be in the rest with you, and I will bring you into my rest. And so I did, and I can honestly say I have not been depressed or anxious or claustrophobic or anything during this time, because I've taken, and I haven't come to church to work here. I've been mostly working at home. And I said, wow. I said, yeah. I said, this is the most wonderful time I've ever had, because it allowed me time to connect with the Lord in a way that I couldn't have when I was so uber busy in church doing this and then that and just running. And I believe that the Lord took what the enemy meant for harm. He took it and made something really good to his glory,
yeah,
to magnify his name.
Yeah, I do too. I believe that every limitation that gets put on us is an invitation into Jesus Christ. And that if we take the thing that's confining us or limiting or the temptation or the test or whatever that is, and we can put it, we can find Jesus in the midst of it, then we become like Paul, who took all the losses and considered them gain so that he might gain Jesus in the midst of it. And I think that's a hard mindset if you're looking at the circumstances. If you're looking at Jesus, and if Jesus is your prize, if Jesus is your husband or your best friend, or he is the end result of all things, then when you're doing that, you can then keep your perspective. You can keep your eyes on him. If prayer, again, if prayer is needing to change a circumstance or a situation or a limitation, then if that doesn't change, like 8, 9, 10 months of COVID and the limitations of it and all that, if prayer is only meant to change the circumstance, then you can see where people can, and I've gotten disappointed in the midst of prayer, you know, got frustrated in the midst of it. But again, the seasons that hold the best fruitfulness of prayer is because I'm not looking to change a circumstance. I'm looking to find Jesus in the midst of it.
Because the enemy will always bring another circumstance.
Another circumstance.
And then when that one's done, he'll bring a whole different one over and over and over to wear you out. But mostly to keep you looking at what he's doing, the spies, making him big. Look at what he's doing. He put cancer on brother so-and-so, or he did this, or he did that. Instead of looking at God, and it sounds so simplistic, and it really is, all we need to do is yield to the Holy Spirit, who will reveal Christ to us and in us if we keep our eyes on him. And if we say everything starts and ends with Jesus Christ, everything is about Jesus. And then we start saying, oh my gosh, my ugly side is about Jesus, and my good side is about Jesus, and everybody else's, and this is okay. Jesus is Lord. And the really neat part is when a Christian starts making Jesus Lord for real. Mm-hmm. You know, we've all said yes to Christ, but many of us haven't made him Lord yet. But Holy Spirit is drawing each one of us to see the fruitfulness and the beauty of making him Lord over our lives. And not that we are servants, but we are joint heirs with him, but he's in charge. Yeah. And we get to fellowship with him. We get to be his bride, both male and female. We get to be his wife, his spouse. That's a beautiful place to be.
Yeah, that is. Becky, I want to kind of start our transition in that. You brought up the joint heirs. Mm-hmm. But to be a joint heir, you have to first be a son. And I think a lot of people, you know, for prayer, they still are holding a place of, like we said at the beginning, it's a chore. It's work. It's, you know, it's a lot of disciplines in it. And again, I believe you hold places of discipline until it becomes a delight. But I think a lot of people are in that place where they haven't got into the sonship yet. They're just the bottle of water, for your example. They haven't yet had that part where they've become in Christ. So simply to help somebody, how do you make the transition and yet still keep the conversation? Because you have to be able to have to keep a conversation with them. You have to keep praying until you get the revelation and the understanding, right?
And even if you stop praying, even if you give up on your assignment, even if you backslide all the way down the slide to the next county, no matter what you do, he's faithful to keep the covenant, and he'll come after you. And when you said joint heir, the first thing that I thought of is, to be an heir, you have to die.
Yeah.
Jesus died.
Somebody has to die to be an heir.
Jesus died for us, but we also have to die to that self-will, that being led by the flesh. You know, there's stuff right now, and you can see them, teachings, even by Christian people, who will go after the soul of man, the mind, the emotions, the will, how to do it better, how to be better people, how to, you know, do this better, do that better. And God say, no, don't build up your soul, build up your spirit, man. The soul will follow and come into alignment with it if you do. But we, in our flesh, it's so fun to go after things that, you know, I can measure this. It's measurable. Mm-hmm. I can be a better person in this situation or that situation if I do this. And God's saying, no. The only thing that'll make you better is for you to die and to allow me to live in you is to take the word of God and make it so alive in you that that's all you know, that you become so seasoned in the word. It's not that you memorize every scripture there is known to man. That's great if you can do that. I'm not real great at memorizing a lot of stuff, but I do know that when I need the word, the Lord will bring it up to my mind. Mm-hmm. Because you read, you know, you. I'm sure most people read the Bible at least once or twice a year, you know, from cover to cover.
Oh, I thought you meant a day.
No, you just read it, just to get that word in you. You'd be surprised at when it bypasses the head, because you say, oh, gosh, here we are with numbers, you know, or this one begat that one, and then that one begat that. You'd be surprised, though. You are feeding a spirit. It's kind of like tongues. You don't know what you're praying, right, but you're being built up. And when the right time comes, that scripture will be right there for you. And you may not know the address of it.
Sure.
God knows the address of it. Right. The address is Jesus Christ.
He didn't put the addresses on.
That's right. He didn't. And however it works, live in the word. Declare the word. But make sure you're not doing it by robot. You know, I memorize this scripture, so I'm going to say it 50 times to every situation. What is the Lord saying at that time? If you have died to self and you are alive in Christ, you have resurrected with him. When he died, you died. And you really are then you can't say, I have rights. No, Jesus has rights.
Right.
Your right is to follow him. That's all. You know, everything else, it ends the argument or it ends the debate if you say, you're right. Sure. Now, Lord, you're right.
Yeah. Change me.
Jesus, yeah.
Change me.
Yeah.
That's good. Becky, I want to just kind of transition to let people know about how they can give and that. Whether you're in the house, you can always, you know how to, you can get an envelope, they're on the chairs, you can do that. If you're online tonight and you're watching, you can go to Jubilee Church and hit the give button. You can give through the Tithely app, you can give by texting, and all those things work out really good in that. And I want to let everybody know that for me, I am so thankful for how faithful God has been and how faithful the body of Christ has been to give, even in the midst of all circumstances, that your faithful giving allows us to keep all the things that we're doing going and gives us the ability to sow into lots of areas, lots of people, lots of nations, and all that. So I want to say thank you for your giving tonight. And Becky, I'd like you to pray and bless the offering. And I'd like you to just kind of wrap up the conversation, and maybe we'll even bless bless everybody with coming into a new place of prayer.
Well, Father God, we lift up our offering to you right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Whether we're at home or we're here, filling this building, Father, with you, and we say, Lord God, may it be an offering, Lord God, and a gift to your glory. May it bring you honor, Father. May the whatever we have purposed, whatever you have asked us to give, Father, may it accomplish what you have set out for it to accomplish. And I speak, Father God, a hundredfold return to those that are giving. Lord, I thank you right now that you give, Father God, above and beyond what they're giving. They're just giving money, Lord. But Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name that you would give them a relationship with you and the ability to hear your voice like they never have before. Father, may they, tonight as they go to sleep, may they feel the embrace of the Lord on them.
Jesus.
Father, may they go out, Lord God, not the way they came in, but may they go out saying, there's hope for me. I don't have to be perfect. Christ is perfect and he's in me. And I thank you, Father God, for that. Whatever, Lord God, whatever your people are going through, I thank you, Father God, that you are Lord and sovereign and supreme. Now, I asked Diana if she would sing this one song, and I'm going to invite you to close your eyes as she sings and enter into seeing his face right before your very eyes, wherever you are. If you're in your bedroom, your living room, wherever, your computer, your TV, wherever you are, I want you to close your eyes. See Jesus. Most of you will know this song. It's an old one. It was back in the revival days. And I just thank you, Father God, for bringing a revival to our hearts just because we want to worship you. And Father, we pray in the name, the beautiful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.